It's time for another Pratt Podcast Extra. Now, here's your host for all things Texan, Robert Pratt.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this Pratt on Texas Podcast Extra. I am extraordinarily excited to be able to bring you one of our listeners. He's a great guy, Chip Polk. He and his brother Glenn have really been doing the Lord's will, and I mean, you can tell that from the things that have fallen into place over the years and the way they've sustained their enterprise. And what I'm talking about is the regionally well-known now, maybe regionally famous, Ragtown Gospel Theater, right up on the edge of the Cap Rock at Post, Texas. And this is the kind of thing that, frankly, a lot of people get a good idea and then they realize how hard it is to do. Chip and his family, he's laughing because he knows what I'm talking about. I'm a serial entrepreneur my whole life. Chip, welcome to Pratt on Texas. Before I go any further and try to tell your story for you, because there's so much on their website, ragtown.com, you can read and read and read. Even as a blog, he hadn't updated it in several years, but I read through all this stuff. I mean, they have really given you the information. Tell everybody about you and your brother Glenn and this. What is the Ragtown Gospel Theater?
Well, thanks for the opportunity to be on the show, Robert. I'm delighted to be here. And the theater started, we actually started building back in 2005 and opened in 2007. It originated, I've been writing all my life, and I had written a play called Paul the Apostle. And a couple of years after I wrote it, my brother, Glenn, who had been an actor all of his life, took the play and began to perform it at churches all over in seven different states, I think it ended up being, and then actually got to go to Europe and do it in three countries over there. And he was traveling all over doing Paul the Apostle. And I wrote another play for him called Peter the Rock. And in the middle of that, had a vision, I guess you could say. And so I called him. He was on the road. He was in Victoria on his way to Farwell, which is, you know, like going
Midwest. Yeah, it's crossing the Midwest, but never getting close to the Texas. Well, Farwell, you would have getting close to the Texas border, though, right?
Yeah, and well, he was great at acting, but travel planning is not his strength, you know.
Right. So, in other words, he would need a manager to arrange his tour stops. Yeah. Otherwise, he'd be going from New York to California to Minneapolis to Houston and missing all the spots in between. All right, so now you've ragged, Mr. Ragtown. You've ragged on your brother a little bit. Tell us about this vision, this inspiration that came to you.
When I called him, I said, I'm planning the rest of your life. And sure enough, it turned out I was. I suggested to him that rather than him traveling all over, we should build a theater in our hometown, Post. And I had written a musical called Ragtown, which is based on the history of the founding of Post, which is a phenomenal story that even people around here don't all know about. C.W. Post, the serial inventor, created a utopian city, came down here, bought a quarter of a million acres of land, ranch land and farmland, some below the cap, some above, and planned this perfect city, supposed to be. And then he advertised all over the nation because C.W. Post sort of invented the concept of national advertising, and he invited people to come from everywhere to Post and live. And he divided that land into quarter section farms and drilled a well and built houses and barns and such. And people did come. And this was 40 years after the end of the Civil War, which, you know, we both lived long enough to know 40 years is no time after a conflict like that.
By the way, in the era he did this, just so people know, these utopian cities, these ideas were commonplace. The magnates in America, it's not just Henry Ford and others. I mean, it's all over there. There are neighborhoods in Chicago that are now in the center of the city that were once suburban utopian cities built for a particular factory or something. I mean, this was really the rage amongst folks who were some of the great early industrial post-Civil War. And it went into the early 20th century as well.
That was right at the turn of the century. It was a lot of bunch of them.
And I want to add one more thing. You say just below the cap, and I say it all the time, but I'm constantly reminded when I travel that people don't know what we're talking about. Cap Rock, in Lubbock, everybody knows this term. In West Texas, most people know the term. But what we're talking about is an escarpment. That's the right name for it, where the Great Plains of North America, Lubbock's the big city at the bottom of the Great Plains, goes all the way up into Canada and, you know, Saskatchewan and Calgary and all of these, just gone blank. All this is Calgary's a city, not the state. But anyway. The escarpment, that you have the slope up and then you have the rock piece on the top. Mm-hmm. That's why it's called the Cap Rock. The High Plains sits on top of that and that caps the ground. So that's what we're talking about. And Post, if it's just to the southeast of Lubbock, and it's right, you drop down off the Cap Rock and there you are at C.W. Post, the great cereal magnate's dream city that he had there. And your theater sits on that slope. I mean, right up there in that area. It's really neat.
Yeah. It's just right. It's sort of a crescent of, the canyon wall. It's not a real steep canyon wall, but that's what it is. And we're just under the cap, the Cap Rock, and just kind of in the shadow there.
So go to Ragtown. I mean, you were telling the story. Okay. So you're from there, and where does this Ragtown come from? The name?
Well, that's what the original settlement, which is about 3 miles from us, was up on top. And it was, up in the middle of farming community there. And it didn't really work out because, for one thing, he couldn't convince the state to allow him to make that the county seat.
Right.
Yeah. And nor could he convince the railroad to build up on top of the cap. So he moved the town. And another thing that occurred in the course of it, there was a storm, maybe a tornado, a big windstorm, and this was a tent city. And, of course, a lot of tent cities are called ragtowns, but this one in particular turned out to be a prophetic name because this storm came and it blew all of the tents and shredded them.
Into rags.
Turned over into rags, exactly. Yeah. Turned over lanterns, set them on fire, and blew people's belongings all over creation. And I grew up there. Glenn and I grew up in that town, and my mom and dad for a period of time ran what we used to call an old folks home. It was a personal care home of sorts.
Right.
And these were all original settlers. I knew these people. I knew Scotty Sampson, the stonemason from Scotland that C.W. Post brought there to quarry the stone and build all the buildings downtown.
It's unique to our area, the settling of the High Plains of what we call the South Plains and High Plains of Texas, that we're the last place of the lower 48 to be settled due to the extreme weather, lack of water, and the Indian raids people still know settlers. I mean, we're several generations closer to the actual pioneers than people just 100 miles to the east of here.
Yeah, to have known people, and I thought it was a huge blessing to have known these people and have heard their stories, directly. A next door neighbor of mine came down the Cap Rock in a covered wagon when she was just old enough to remember, 4 or 5 years old, and she remembered the mule train and all of that. And, I got to hear all these stories and I thought, and this is kind of a departure from what we ended up doing, but I had written this musical because I thought that's going away. Nobody else is going to be around that knows these stories. And so I wrote the musical Ragtown and I had that sort of just sitting in my computer doing nothing. And so I presented this idea to Glenn, that we build, originally the idea was to build two theaters, to build an amphitheater and to build the gospel theater, do the gospel plays throughout the year. And then in the summers do Ragtown.
Yeah, it's too hot. It's too hot here. I mean, I don't want to be outside. Y'all got smart, put it in the air conditioning.
Yeah.
Those amphitheaters are around, but they don't, Well, yeah. We're preaching to the choir in the audience. Yeah. They know what we're talking about.
Didn't take long for us to figure out that was a bad idea.
Your brother Glenn is a professional actor. Talk just a moment about, I mean, you know, he's your brother, so you don't want to build him up too much, but tell us a little bit about Glenn's history when you're out doing this and he's out acting. Where does he come into the acting fold in his vocation?
Well, he was from the very outset. I mean, when he was in the fourth grade, he got the acting bug and it never left him. He went to Texas Tech and his classmates were G.W. Bailey and Barry Corbin. They were all three in lots of plays together.
Big Hollywood successes, you bet.
Yeah, they went to Hollywood. Glenn got married and didn't. And so he raised a family.
Lucky him.
He had, he's still sane, consequently. And so,
right, exactly. I really meant it. I meant it sincerely. Yeah. Lucky him. Yeah. How many musicians and friends of mine that are very much older now who had buddies that ended up being presidents of record. Lubbock just had all this talent, presidents of record companies and people, and they all went. And then the ones that got drafted or something and then had to come back home ended up the same ones with a good life, and very few of the others ended up with they got caught up in the world. And that's exactly that's what we're in. So Glenn has been an actor. He's probably done other things, but he's been an actor his whole life. That was sort of his vocation.
He did all kinds of community theater and that sort of thing, all to scratch that itch for forever. And then felt that the Lord was calling him into ministry of some kind, but didn't want to be a preacher, didn't think that was right. One thing led to another, and I'd written this play, and at the same time, someone gave him a copy of a video of a play that the confession of, I believe it was the confession of John, I think if I'm right. And the actor Dean Jones, who was in The Love Bug, and in his later years, he became a Christian, and he did this one man show, and they had a video of it. Somebody sent it to Glenn. He watched about half of it, turned it off, and said, "That's what I'm supposed to do."
Well, isn't that funny? Because we don't want to wait on the Lord. Scripture teaches us constantly. Yeah. Every book in the Bible, wait on the Lord.
Yeah.
Be looking. We pray for it. We get mad. We would like a burning bush. Every one of us would like, what am I supposed to do, Lord? And the heavens part, and the angel comes down and tells us. But it doesn't work that way. But the Holy Spirit is with us. And if we pray and open our hearts and listen to his direction, he brings us there. And that brings us to the Ragtown Gospel Theater. We're visiting with Chip Polk. He and his brother founded this. It's a whole family thing. We'll be back in a moment with more on this Pratt on Texas Podcast Extra.
Pratt's interview continues after you hear from our generous sponsors.
If you're sick to death of the mainstream news, we invite you to check out 21st Century Watch magazine. We cover developments we have no choice but to watch from a biblical perspective. Not only is it priceless, it's free. Call 903-561-7070 and 21stcenturywatch.com. That's 903-561-7070 and 21stcenturywatch.com. A little hope would be nice.
It may sound impossible, but Isabel and I have done it, having big fun while going to the dentist. Dr. Sylvia Zuniga's practice in Costa Rica is personal with the highest level of service and quality I've experienced for anything. Her office is near most of the embassies and a place perfect for walking and enjoying the wonderful weather. If you want top dental work at amazingly affordable prices, learn more about Dr. Sylvia Zuniga and dental care by clicking the banner at PrattOnTexas.com. Having your teeth fixed and beautiful can be affordable and even fun.
What happens if another party responsible for your injury doesn't step up to make your loss whole? How do you go about getting what you're owed for your loss? Ted Liggett and the Liggett Law Group can help get those responsible to actually accept and act on that responsibility. Ted Liggett does it every day with integrity, advocacy, and results. Call Ted Liggett, the heavy hitter, at 806-744-HURT or visit LiggettLawGroup.com. Don't be cheated. Call Ted Liggett and the Liggett Law Group.
It's a podcast extra from Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas and this podcast extra. Visiting with Chip Polk, founder of the Ragtown Gospel Theater. The website is ragtown.com. Now, Chip, your brother's an actor. You're a writer and musician. You left out in the little first story the part that you wrote a play, then you tried to act it, and turns out you're not an actor. And you know, that is the intangible. When I started doing radio, I'm a communicator. I've been a platform speaker all my life, but I knew enough about media that I went into it full-time. I'm going to give it my all. I don't do part-time stuff. You and your brother had a radio station. You've been around it, but I knew there's an intangible that you can't answer yourself, and none of us can ever figure out what it is. I'm shocked when people tell me, just the other day I get encountered at an Hispanic lady at a restaurant. Oh, you're so funny. And see, I'm not funny. I'm not a joke teller or anything, but you get these things all the time, and it's an intangible. So you tried to act the play. God said, Chip, you're a writer. You're going to write mm-hmm. for me. You're not the actor. Your old ugly brother, if it's like with my brothers, your old ugly mean brother, he's going to be the actor. But you guys listened, and this came together. And let's take a quick departure. We're going to talk about this season, the 2024 season's opening, number 33 AD, coming up later. But first, I want you to tell people about the theater, because the theater, if first of all, go to ragtown.com and drill through the website, folks. There are major pages with photos and everything. And this is not, when this group first came about and I heard about the Ragtown Gospel Theater and Post, what do you think I thought? Okay, here's what you would think. Maybe a kit steel building with sprayed insulation on the wall and some card tables and a little concrete stage, because that's what most of this is. It's so expensive. It's so hard to do. And it's over in Post. And, you know, I'm a Floyd Ada boy by nature. Why could be down there at Post? I love Post. It's a pretty place. But it's not this theater, folks. It's just like I've said on the air. It's tour operators and guests say, hey, this rivals what we see in Branson. And, you know, one of my previous businesses that we had, a big e-commerce company, very early, before even the standards were out in the late 90s and then crossed the millennium, we sponsored a one-man show there, a really good one, called The Cowboy Ain't Dead Yet in the Gilley Theater. Very successful for years. R.J. Vandegrift. And we were one of the sponsors of the show. He did all our voice work for our automation when people called in for orders and stuff, and went up there several times, got to know Branson pretty well. And, I know sort of how this works. This place you guys have, will people's jaws just drop when they get there the first time, don't they? Do you hear that a lot?
They do, always. They are always amazed.
Tell the story of the facility itself, because it is important. If people are going to drive a couple of hours up from the big country or wherever, they need to understand where they're going. Tell us about it.
Well, when we first decided to build the theater, and Glenn into the idea of it. Well, we got hold of an architect, and we had the idea that we would build sort of a Jerusalem Plaza. You know, and it would feel like going to Israel when you came. That was the hope. So we talked to this architect, and for 2 or 3 hours one morning, he sent us a bill for that, and we realized we couldn't even afford to talk to an architect.
It's like hiring a lawyer. They charge you for the prospecting time. All the rest of us have to go do the sales talk free, and over. They get to charge you for it. So you took a different tack, but you ended up with what you were looking for, right?
Absolutely. My wife graduated from Tech with a degree in interior design, and Robin is very talented. So I just bought a lot of paper and handed it to her and said, honey, you're going to have to build.
See, I got us into this. I got my brother into this. Now it's a family thing. You better bail us out.
So she started drawing plans and researching and just worked and drew this building. And then we had acquired the property, and it was the old golf course.
Yeah, I'm still upset about it. I wouldn't mind living in Post, but they got the country club went away, so I can't live there. There's no golf course. Yeah. That's right. You're out by the golf course.
It had been closed down about 7 or 8 years and was about head high in weeds, and so it was already gone as far as a golf course goes. But we joke about it and say, it was a perfect place to build a gospel theater. Holy ground.
And so it was a lot of prayers said on those greens, by the way.
Lots of when we did our environmental study, the guys came back and their little they had their little you know, they had little safari hats on and they were out there hiking around and picking up stuff. They came back and said, okay, well, you've got horny toads and golf balls.
There you go. You're set up.
But anyway, we started to build the theater. We broke ground on the weekend that Hurricane Katrina hit, and everything tripled in price, and everybody who knew how to build left. I mean, a lot of people. And so
sure, there was just too much opportunity all in Southeast and South Texas.
And we had a need to go ahead and get this thing done. So we started working, and we were the crew. I was the guy that drove the Packer, which, as I understand, is the dumbest guy on the crew because you just drive in circles for hours and hours and hours.
Perfect, a perfect radio guy job.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And oh, there's a million stories about the building of it, but it took us 2 years.
Wow.
And we opened in 2007. Now we're just beginning our 18th season.
Now, folks, I want you to understand, in this type of thing, whether it's restaurants, anything with the public, but theater, stuff like this, to make it 5 years is a huge thing.
Yeah.
You guys, this is truly clear. It's clear that there is, you're staying with God's will in this, and you guys have been blessed, because I'm sure from my own experience that there have been what really are the kind of miracles we see, but we don't publicly see as miracles, that come up all the time. A shortage of money, shortage of equipment. How do you do this? What can we do here? And then it just happens. You guys did it, and now you're coming up on two decades.
Yeah, yeah, and it's been, it is an amazing thing.
And you and Glenn look older.
Yes, we are. Yeah, we are older, and definitely we have that biblical prophet look. Both of us now, you know. So, but when we go into the theater ourselves, I mean, when we go in to clean and do, because we still do all that.
Yep. Like all small business owners.
Yeah. There's just an atmosphere there that it's difficult to describe. When people come into the theater, they walk into the lobby. Now, we built the lobby it's fashioned after the old Algerita Hotel that C.W. Post designed, the lobby in the front of the theater. So we tell people, we take you back to the turn of the last century, and then you walk into the theater itself, into the auditorium, and we take you back to the turn of the first century. And we have had many people who've been to Israel who told us that the atmosphere is there, that she nailed it when she designed it. Later, we got the opportunity to go to Israel in 2013 and spend some time there. And I have photographs in my computer of Israel pictures and theater pictures all intermixed. And it does.
This is a thoroughly modern facility. I mean, you got very comfortable cushioned seats. The bathrooms are spectacular, I understand, which is important. People forget. You're talking about tour buses and people coming in groups from churches and other groups from all over. Mm-hmm. It's a long drive. They get there, and you guys have really done it well. A friend of ours was down, I think, taking a tour with you, and he's just raving about it to me. And in an email, he said, you have to get Chip to show you the ladies' bathroom and everything. I'm like, I'll pass on that, but nevertheless.
We have ladies that get, wait until everybody else is gone so they can take their husbands into the ladies' room to show them.
An old-fashioned lounge, like the old-fashioned places, I would assume.
Well, there's 24 stalls, and you can tell that a woman designed the building because of that, because there's lots and lots of stalls. I'll tell you a quick funny story about it, because a real story happened this way. We opened, and I mentioned we had a hard time getting materials. It was difficult at that, after Hurricane Katrina, and we had these special doors for the stalls. They don't go all the way to the floor. They're a small door. We had ordered, we couldn't get them in. Okay, we have 24 stalls, and we got four doors. And so after one of our first productions, a lady came out, and she was talking to my sister-in-law, Twyla, and she, Glenn's wife, and she said, I love the biblical theme that you have throughout the building, even in the ladies' room. And Twyla was like,
What?
Well, what? Yeah. She said, yeah, you've got 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and Revelation.
On the doors. See, my thinking, I'm the entrepreneur. My immediate thought is you put one of those coin deals like they have in other countries on the ones with stalls, and you charge for those and make them a profit center. But it is a really top drawer facility. I assume you have snacks and
sure things. We have all that. We have a concession area, and we have a gift area. It's fashioned after the street bazaar you'll see in Israel.
I heard like the gift shop area is really nice. Then it was another surprise for people who come.
Yeah,
we
import some things from Israel. We've got some olive wood things that we sell there, and some spices that we import, and a little taste of Israel. But it's a it's really kind of a wonderful thing. And through this last few months, you know, we've kind of got a special connection with some of those folks over there. And it's been a heartbreaking thing, you know, it's been going on there.
Well, let's pick it up in a moment. We're visiting with Chip Polk of the Ragtown Gospel Theater. Let's talk about the first play of this year, and we'll talk about the schedule, how you'll do this. It's called 33 AD. The website's ragtown.com. We'll be back in a moment with more of this Pratt on Texas Podcast Extra.
Pratt's interview continues in a moment. Stand by.
The name may be Specialty Trucks of Lubbock, but these guys have repeat customers across the country. Why? Because they save you serious money. Mike Crafton and Jason Duncan specialize in finding and reconditioning quality work trucks, including heavy-duty pickups, utility-bodied trucks, bucket trucks, and more. Specialty Trucks of Lubbock can get you the work truck you need and save you money. You can see inventory online at specialtytrucksoflubbock.com or request them to find the truck you need. Talk to Mike or Jason at specialtytrucksoflubbock.com. Arriving to visit our official dentist, Dr. Sylvia Zuniga, you'll be met at the Modern Airport like a celebrity and whisked away to the upscale mountainside suburb of Escazú overlooking the capital of Costa Rica. Enjoy relaxing resort-style lodging and great dining. Dr. Zuniga will be your concierge throughout your stay as if you were a member of her family. You never have to be on your own. For many, the whole trip for two is less money than what they'd just pay a dentist at home. Learn more. Click the Dental Care banner at PrattonTexas.com.
From somewhere on the internet, it's Robert Pratt of Pratt on Texas with a Pratt Podcast Extra.
My friends, we're visiting with Chip Polk. He and his brother Glenn and the whole family run the Ragtown Gospel Theater in Post, Texas. It's becoming a regional destination for tour operators and other groups. Shockingly, their price of tickets is, I think, $22 a person, whereas anywhere else it'd be $45 to $60. And youth, I mean, students are free, but $10, but that goes all the way up into, you said on the site, if they're still living with mom and dad and they're at college, that's a student. And then veterans and military active duty, free. The site is ragtowngospeltheater.com. It's very easy to reserve groups, even if it's 3 or 4 or 5 people, whatever. However you want to do it, it's very straightforward. These guys clearly... And I wanted to tell you this, Chip, because I'm a marketer. You guys are clearly marketers. I mean, everything at the site covers the things that amateurs don't cover. What to expect, what you're going to see when you get there. In other words, you're really there. You've got so much information there, and it's simple to use. You guys do each show. It's not a Thursday, Friday night, Saturday night deal. It's Saturdays only, 3 p.m., And then a show has a run of so many weeks. So every show starts, that gives you plenty of time to drive there and plenty of time to get home on a Saturday. And this year you're beginning on Texas Independence Day, March 2nd, and the first play runs through the day before the eve of the end of Texas Independence season, San Jacinto Day. So you run March 2nd through April 20th. You see the hand of the Spirit's at work. You come to Pratt on Texas, and wow, how did that work out? It just things like that work out. 3 o'clock on Saturdays, and this is a big theater, but there are how many years? 18, 17, what'd you say?
Yeah, we're starting our 18th season. Yeah.
About as old as Pratt, I think about the same age as Pratt on Texas. And the fact is, this is a place to go. So you need to get your reservations in and get your tickets. I just wanted to point that out. It's not a new thing. There are lots of people that come. There are big groups that come regularly for every show. 33 AD is an interesting subject because I love how you put it. I've been saying it on the show, enigmatic characters. You do have these characters. I mean, there's an entire, I spent a good while in my life getting fascinated. And by the way, be careful with that, folks. I never went down that rat hole, but a lot of people can get misled from gospel truth, from the truth of the word, with a lot of the apocryphal things that are out there and all that, and things that were rejected by church leaders all the way back to the beginning of Christianity, because they're not truthful. People want to own part of it and they make up stories. But there is fascinating apocryphal histories and things about Joseph of Arimathea. There are fascinating histories of these people. Of course, Pontius Pilate, I mean, you know, serious Roman Empire person. So you guys talk about these. Tell us about the play. You're the author. Tell us about it. 33 AD.
Well, exactly that. I became fascinated with these four people, Joseph of Arimathea, Barabbas, of course, Pontius Pilate, you mentioned, and also the centurion who was in charge of the crucifixion of Jesus.
Yeah, a soldier, and, course, a soldier carrying out orders.
Yeah, yeah, he had no choice but to do what he did. And, you know, I take my guiding principle in writing these plays is I write between the lines of Scripture, but I try never to write outside the lines of Scripture.
Right, exactly. that's important.
It leaves me a lot of room to, you know, to be creative, I don't have an agenda here other than to proclaim Jesus. And that's what we do, the person and the promise of Jesus. And as people, I want people to realize that these were real people. They were people with emotions and they were funny and they were sarcastic and they were all these things. And they had all kinds of things to have to contend with, just like we do. And that's one of the things people tell us all the time. We put flesh and bone on the people of the Bible. You hadn't seen that much of anywhere except, and now recently, in recent years, with The Chosen, you've seen that in the beautiful production of The Chosen, but where people see the character, the personality.
Well, you know, sometimes it has been hard. We get this rather fixed wooden image of characters, forgetting that. And yes, people have gone too far the other way with this, where they try to lead away from the truth of the gospel. But the fact of the matter is, you're missing the basic core theology of Jesus Christ coming as the Messiah, as God, but fully man, if you leave this out. Yeah. And there was a long period in Christian theology where that was sort of frowned upon, but that's the center of it. He came, he was fully man. He's perfect. He faced the exact same temptations that the rest of us had, even bigger. I mean, the devil goes straight to him, and there's no reason to be subtle like he is with us, because the devil knows who he's talking to. Satan knows this is God incarnate. And as a man, fully man, he tempts him with control of the world. And
there's nothing we encounter.
People.
There's nothing we encounter that Jesus hasn't already dealt with as a man, and yet God. And so, he just didn't fail like we do. I love getting to do this. I've been writing these stories now for 25 years.
And so how do you weave a story together without giving it away of these people who were there at the crucifixion?
Okay. Well, in each case,
passion.
These were, you know, they each had a part to play, and there's some, interweaving between their stories. But with Pontius Pilate, we know from Scripture that his wife Claudia warned him against having anything to do with crucifying Jesus, but he did it anyway. And in the play,
he took a politically expedient thing when his wife warned him that it wasn't politically expedient.
Yeah.
Actually, and, it's kind of, that's what we go through this all the time.
Well, she, and this is just a little piece of the play, but she is concerned because she believes that he has killed the Son of God. And I, again, one of those creative things, you know, a little license I took was I gave them a daughter, and she is concerned that God, the Jewish God now, is going to take revenge because one of the Jewish laws is eye for an eye. And so she's afraid he's going to take their child because Pontius Pilate has taken God's child.
Well, and there's a whole history of that throughout the Jewish existence.
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
Everything. Why do we have the Passover? I mean, there's a whole history of this, right?
So she's scared of that, and then Barabbas is identified in the word in several of the scriptures as an insurrectionist.
Well, yeah, he wasn't like the thief. People forget that. Yeah. Obviously, this is a political tense moment. You're in a conquered area. Pilate represents the conqueror, the out-of-town empire that runs them. He's obviously one of these messianic-type people that are there under their idea of the Messiah being political control and throwing Rome out and reconquering. That, clearly a very interesting character we wish we knew more about.
Yeah, and Barabbas, if he's an insurrectionist, he's likely is one of those people who is waiting for the Messiah to come and throw out the Romans.
Yeah, and we know from Scripture there were many, many messianic cults at the time. Yeah, in other words, groups following various leaders, all promising political salvation. There were, I mean, lots of groups. That was mainstream in Jewish society at this time.
The idea that Barabbas was the first man that Jesus, in effect, gave his life in place of. He gave his life for Barabbas's life, but Barabbas was, it would have been easy to make him someone who fell at the knees of Jesus because of this, but we didn't do this in this play. I don't want to give away too much of it, but he is the zealot, and he is an insurrectionist, and he's not. Jesus had said, "Render unto Caesar what is Caesar's." Well, that was an anathema to the.
He's a revolutionary. I mean, these are revolutionaries. Yeah. That just like any today, and they're every kind of shade of gray going across the spectrum from black to white when you deal with those. Okay, and then Joseph of Arimathea has a tremendous body of extra historical.
Yeah.
Speculation. We know he was wealthy. He had a carved tomb.
He was a member of the Sanhedrin, so he was a member of the ruling council, and yet he was having this allegiance, some kind of a connection to Jesus.
Yeah, it's sort of a lost idea that we forget that the church was founded there in Jerusalem, and that we had a lot of Jewish people, including people who were powerful people in the Jewish institutions who did become followers of the way of the historians would call the Jesus cult. That's not a negative. That's the true use of the word. So he's very interesting. Of course, there's all kinds of stories about him. You probably don't get into him, but owning 10 mines in the British Isles and all kinds of things. It's fascinating stuff. It's just fanciful, or might be true, but we don't know.
Yeah, that's just stuff that people came up with. But I was always interested because he, Nicodemus, other members of the Sanhedrin, and the leaders, the Jewish leaders, they were like traitors,
right?
If they were to go with,
let's just be honest, if anybody who's on the losing side of a battle or of a moment in history ends up being called a traitor, the winners write the history and have the power. And Jesus didn't become the great political leader to throw Rome out. That wasn't his message. People didn't understand that. So people who were on that side of things, once they executed him, these people are pretty much on an enemies list, we would guess.
Yeah, the ones that were following Jesus, and that's true today.
Yes, it's the same stuff. I mean, this is how it works.
Yeah, You know, when you go, and we did go to Israel, and when you go, one of the most shocking things you discover, for me it was, is that there's a 2% of the population is Christian, where Christianity was.
Yeah, once, when you get out of the orders that the Eastern Orthodox churches and others have maintained and the buildings and things there in Jerusalem and things, this is still very much looked down upon, and you're kind of outcast. I have a good friend who grew up in Israel, and he's an Arab Christian and lives in Texas, been in Texas forever now, but he has a very different outlook being an Orthodox Christian about Judaism and Israel, because for him, it's this political stuff that we see all the time. You know, having lived in it, where you're required by law to close on the Jewish holidays and follow their rules, but the same thing doesn't go back the other way. You know, there's a lot to it. Before we run out of time, Chip Polk, a few comments about the centurion.
Yeah, well, the centurion is I've conflated the centurion with another centurion, and this is just a creative thing, but this particular fellow, we don't know anything about. There is a centurion named Cornelius.
Right, who was, right, sure.
He was the first Gentile to be baptized.
Amen. The Holy Spirit came upon him in his house.
Yeah, and he approached Peter and was the first Gentile to be baptized. Well, I put these two centurions together.
Makes sense. I felt
like there was that centurion that was the one that pierced the side of Jesus and stood there and proclaimed him as the Son of God at the cross. This unnamed centurion did that. So I didn't think it was a big stretch to let him be.
Well, no, he was there, and the sky darkened and the earth quaked and the Holy of Holies, the curtain was ripped in the temple, the center of everything of Jewish life. That's not far fetched at all.
I thought it was a good one to put those two together. And then this same centurion, Cornelius, worked and was in there at Pontius Pilate's headquarters at Caesarea Maritima, and that's where he came. You know, that's where Peter went to see him. And so I wanted to put him in the mix and as another person who was just caught up in these things that he couldn't control.
There's a lesson in that too, because we often forget that God, all through his scripture, works through people who are not even worshipers of him. I mean, whether they're a Babylonian king or anyone else, that he uses people to do things, and we tend to, it's sort of like in theology how the Orthodox Church treats Judas Iscariot, treats Judas very differently than the Western Church has. He's just a traitor, and he turned, and they're like, well, no, wait a minute, God worked his will through him. Christ knew it at the Last Supper, said, I'm going to be betrayed, let him go do it, didn't try to stop him. This is the stuff that if you study theology, it can drive you nuts. And a good pastor said, don't try to get in the mind of God. You start really getting all over the place when you do that. So 33 AD is the play, Chip. About an hour long. How long's the play? I mean, you guys do a gospel thing that you lead first and then an intermission, then the play. So it's a really fun time.
Altogether, it's about 2.5 hours. The concert is usually about 50 minutes or thereabouts. We have a 15-minute intermission or 20 minutes, however long people want to wander around, and then we do the play, which is typically about an hour long.
Perfect.
And then it, like you said earlier, it allows people to grab a bite to eat somewhere and get on back.
Editing is the hardest thing in the world, but it makes your play stronger. Wouldn't you say that as a writer? I mean, I learned this as a writer. Editing, cutting it down and down and down and down. You hate it because there's stuff. Oh, no, I've got to have that in there. But then, it's like you see a bad movie and you realize once you become an editor, you start saying, well, of course. And you watch in the DVDs were great before streaming because you had all these deleted scenes. And you can sit and walk through those, even in a classic masterpiece, And we did that, my wife and I, recently. And they're like, yep, that needed to be deleted. Yep, that didn't really add to the story. Oh, it was funny. Oh, that was good. But that didn't need to be in there. And so putting it in the right time amount, I think, is right for people's attention spans as well. And it forces you to hone in on the central message. Now, this is about promoting Jesus, but this is not non-entertainment. I mean, you're there for people to enjoy.
Yeah, we want it to be thoroughly entertaining, but it is more than entertainment. We're just presenting the truth, presenting the truth about Jesus. And that's really the entire agenda. But we've discovered that, you know, because we do that, people from every denomination come. And that is one of the things that makes us know God's in control of this thing, because how often does that happen? You know, and so we have people that are Catholic and people who are Church of Christ and Baptist and you name it, all sitting side by side and agreeing and enjoying this thing together. There's just something very special that happens there that we have absolutely no control over. And another piece of it is that we have volunteers. This is not funded by or sponsored by any particular church. We all go to different churches, but people just come in. They'll come to a play, see the theater, and afterwards say, "What can I? Is there something I can do to help?"
Well, obviously, 18-year, this is the 18th season. You're doing something right. It's Ragtown Gospel Theater. The website, which you can learn all about Glenn and Chip, read their stories. Everything is there at ragtown.com. ragtown.com. Chip, we're so glad that you've partnered with Pratt on Texas to promote this season. I hope our listeners from everywhere will come and take part. I know many of them already do. I know there will be many more. And it's just the kind of thing that I want to promote, because like you and your brother and your wives, I'm just sick of what's happening. I mean, my wife and I can't watch a movie. We can't watch anything hardly without. We're getting to where we just turn stuff off. I mean, it looks kind of interesting, and all of a sudden you're hit with every kind of promotion of homosexuality, other kind of sexual sin, just gross violence. I'm not one of these guys that doesn't want, you know, violence is real. It's all through Scripture. But when it's gratuitous to make us basically like the idea of violence, it's just everything we watch and see is so far off of what enhances our spirit and our mind and our families that it's just wonderful you all are doing this. I give you 60 seconds for any last comment for folks.
Well, thank you, Robert. I mean, I'm delighted to be here with you on the program and as a sponsor. I just really do appreciate the work that you do. And you're right. This is different from what people usually experience. And one of the things that we have been told is when you walk in the doors at Ragtown Gospel Theater, just take a sigh of relief, because for a couple of hours, everything's okay.
And what a great way to put it. What a great way to put it.
There's nothing else we can do. That's certainly worthwhile. The Lord's doing things there, and it isn't church, but it is the Lord.
It's so fun. Well, that's the way our lives are supposed to be as Christians. We're supposed to be not of the world, but work to conform the world to God's word. Chip Polk and his brother is the big star, Glenn. When you're there, Glenn's the one that knows how to act. Chip's the one that knows how to write and sing. He gets you up front, and then you get to step up to his brother. And
there you go.
And they're so old now they don't have to put the white powder in the wig and all that to look. I'm just kidding. He said earlier they've got the prophet look going on. Ragtown Gospel Theater, the website ragtown.com. The first play of the year is 33 AD. Doesn't mean after death. This is when Christ was crucified. AD, Anno Domini, in the year of our Lord, because now we're keeping time in the year of Christ's kingdom. And we want you to go. It starts on March 2nd, Texas Independence Day. What a great way to celebrate Texas Independence Day. It's a Saturday, runs through April 20th. Every show is 3 p.m. on Saturday. You can get all your tickets, find out all about it, get everything reserved at ragtown.com. Chip Polk, thank you so much.
Thank you, Robert. Enjoyed it very much.
Hear all the great Texas music Pratt on Texas is famous for by listening to the show on the air or by stream. 5 to 6 p.m. Central in Lubbock. Tune to 98.7 FM or 1420 AM on KWBF. In Abilene and the Big Country, tune to 96.1 FM Q Country.